I believe I will use the 7th verse of this 5th chapter of 2 Samuel as a text. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. Now, the same is the city of David. The title of my message comes right out of that verse, Tearing Down Strongholds. Anything that has a stronghold that's against God in your life, even though you are saved. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, Thanks be unto God, which always leadeth us in triumph, causes us to triumph. I like the translation that says leadeth us into triumph. The conqueror must be first himself subjected, and that is when we have been led in triumph. Everybody knows the story of Joshua when he has assumed the leadership of God's army, and now he is going to endeavor to do what Moses failed at doing, and that's moving into the promised land. And he gets to his first encounter, which is Jericho. And while the troops are getting their night's rest, Joshua is up alongside the mountain, possibly making last-minute strategy as the general, the commander-in-chief. Maybe he can get a vision or something that God can give him fresh before he starts the encounter. When all of a sudden, a man with, he thought it was a man, with a sword drawn in his hands, heads towards Joshua, and Joshua pulls his sword out, and they meet. Joshua said, Who are you for? Us or our enemy? And the man said to Joshua, I'm for neither one of you, but I come as the captain of the Lord of hosts. I've come to lead you into battle. Here God called Joshua to be the commander-in-chief, and now he's going to send him a commander that's going to give him orders. Can you shout praise the Lord? I am reading my text to you today from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 5, verse number 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. The capture of Jerusalem and the establishing of David's throne in the ancient stronghold of the Jebusites. I don't even like the name Jebusites. Jebus. Jebus means the downtrodden. Changed to Jerusalem after David took it, the city of peace. Jebus naturally impregnated by its situation and its defenses, this ancient city had defied the conquest of everyone before David. Now think about this. David ruled in Hebron, and still Jebus was under the control of the Jebusites. Joshua and all the judges, even Saul and David reigned, as I said, for 7.5 years at Hebron, and still Jebus was in the hands of the enemy. Now, I'm going to correlate this and bring it up to date in our experience today. David was crowned king over all of Israel, and he offered a bribe to his men, whoever felt man enough to take Jebus. And Joab was the one that was quick to answer the challenge. And he showed how brave he was. And Jebus became the national capital, Jerusalem. The stronghold of the enemy. It's a picture of the Christian life. And the many spiritual blessings and the real experiences that you and I have that have secret things in our life that nobody knows anything about. Now, this you won't be shouting at it first. But there's one little place, even though God has his country set up and David is ruling, but still Jebus is under the control of the Jebusites. One little insignificant thing. It's ruled by the lame and the blind. What good is it? But it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And that those little things in your life and my life that keep us from God's best. And these are the things that I want to zero in on, because we are headed for the greatest revival this world has ever known. And I want to preach to you as children of God to destroy and bring down every stronghold in your life so God can be in control of every phase of your living. Can you shout amen? Amen. Something in your life nobody knows like you. In the church, you don't know what's sitting next to you in that pew. You don't know what kind of troubles people are going through. You don't know what kind of secret things that are in the life of believers that's keeping them from God's best. Still under the control of self. Still under control of the devil. The land may be subjected, but there's one critical point that is held by the enemy. I surrendered my life. I gave my life to Christ. But there's one thing that I will not surrender. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Don't turn the television set off. It's a feeble enemy. It's a small, little, old, feeble tribe. A small tribe. It's overlooked. Nobody but cripples and the blind are there. Little insects whose sting is death. Some of the smallest insects, science declares, can destroy a human life. Just a little thing. It's the little foxes that destroy the buds, the fruits and the vines, little indulgences, little irritations. Satan has a hold on. He holding something in your life and he calls you his partner. I read the story of a Hindu landowner in India, a multi-millionaire who bought hundreds of thousands of acres. But right in the center of the acre, there was one little hectare of land that one man refused to sell at no price. And he was in the center. The multimillionaire built a city around him, and he's right smack dab in the middle of it. And that multimillionaire walks through the city, and that little gnat, that little man that owns one little hectare, has his shoulders back when he meets him. And he said, "How do you like our city?" The devil couldn't keep you from Jesus. You answered the altar call. You repeated the sinner's prayer. You don't mind giving up sin, but there's some little indulgence that you want to hold on to. This is mine. It belongs to me, and I'm not giving it up. Then God can never give you his best and entrust to you his power. There has to come a time of total surrender where you lay everything on the altar of God, and then God will put you in the position of being blessed. Can you raise your hands and shout amen, somebody? All the devil wants is to have his finger in it somewhere. He would rather fill a political chair, or rather, he would rather fill a pulpit than be a politician. He would rather teach theology in the seminary than write a novel or create a masterpiece for the movies. He'll let you say what you want and sugarcoat it, But just let him have one little grain of arsenic in it. And then he has you whipped. We come to church and we testify, thank God I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and the burning fire. And God still has been trying to get you to lay everything on the altar. Strongholds. Now remember, I said tonight's liberation night. I'm not saying you're demon possessed. I'm not saying that you are even oppressed. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not sanctified. But there's something there that you have not surrendered to God. And God is looking for a total surrender. Now all I can do is tell you about my own life. God called me to preach. And I said, I'm not preaching. There's that rebellious streak. How many of you ever been rebellious? If your hand ain't up, you're... Well, I won't say what you're doing. But you're lying. Every one of us know what it is to be rebellious and put your back up. God called me to preach. I said, I'm not going to preach. Brother Winston Schmock and his dear wife are with me. They were in school with me. And Winston, I'll never forget when I got up to preach my first message. I had 10 pages of notes and I was through in 2 minutes. I was about ready to quit. Devil told me I'd never amount to anything. I refused to preach and I joined the Navy. A modern day Jonah. I rebelled. I'm going to be an FBI man. I had my future already mapped out. My education has been planned. I'm going to join the FBI. And that doesn't mean full-blooded Indian. God called me to preach and I joined the Navy. How stupid. When I look back over, don't you sit there and laugh at me. You're a dummy too. If you ever rebelled against God, I know a preacher friend of mine don't have any hair on the back of his head. And I ask him, how come that hair ain't there? He said, my rebellious spirit, God kept pulling me back. And he said, now I ain't got no hair left. But it's always too late. I joined the Navy and I refused. I was still saved. I held meetings in a gun mount. I read my Bible. I prayed. I wasn't into open sin, but I was rebellious to the call of God. And I'll never forget during surrender after they dropped that bomb on Nagasaki. Our ship was a destroyer. We escorted the hospital ships in. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. They were repatriating our men who were held prisoner by the Japanese forces. The English, the Australians, and the Americans, all the Allied forces that were held prisoner by the Japanese government at the end of the war. Here they are on a train bringing them into a depot. Running them through a shower, destroying their clothes, wrapping a towel around them and moving them on a hospital ship. I'll never forget it. 276 of us on the docks watching this scenario. Being repatriated. You're not allowed on the ship unless you get permission from the OD, the officer of the day. You salute the fantail, which is the rear of the ship. And then you salute the officer of the day. But every one of these men who were prisoners, you could count their ribs, malnutrition. These were men that weren't fed a proper diet. They were held prisoner, but their hospital ship came. They were repatriated. The day of warfare is over, and now they're going home. When they hit the docks, I saw every one of those men, many of them white, many of them black, many of them Indians, and every one of them did a somersault. Out on the docks, half of them lost their towels, and they ran up on that gangplank and into the arms of that officer of the deck, and they never saluted him. They jumped in his arms and kissed him on both cheeks. I turned around to those hardened sailors and tears running down their face. Nobody called them a fanatic. Are you listening to me? And here I was running from the call of God. God called me to preach and I said, I'm not going to do it. But I fell on my face before God and I said, I give up. I surrender. The Japanese aren't the only ones that's going to surrender, but I surrendered and I said, Lord, I will preach this gospel. And I made a pulpit out of a 5-inch gun mount and I preached to them hardened sailors. And it wasn't long ago they held a ship's reunion out in Albuquerque and I went out. And they told me, they said, we watch you on television. I said, did you get saved yet? Is it doing you any good? And I found out many of them are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Are you listening to me? I come to tell you it works. If you're hiding something in your life, my God, now it's time to get it exposed with the searchlight of heaven and get it out in the open and get everything on the altar of God and let God know you surrender all and allow Him to use you in this last day. You are going to help spearhead revival throughout this entire world. Raise your hands and shout praise the Lord with me. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
I'm reading from this 5th chapter of the book of 2 Samuel, verse number 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, and the same is the city of David. He took it. The devil will tell you you'll never make it. Jebus were the descendants of Lot. You know Lot. The descendants of Lot and his degrading daughters born in Sodom. That's who had it under control. They still retain the odor of the slime pits. The natural, carnal heart. Things that are born in us that has been transmitted by the curse. You see it on television. People that have been cursed with the HIV virus are bringing children into the world and the children are born with AIDS. Are you listening to me? Yes, help us, Lord. In New York City, I see it. We put our tent up there in every year. Drug addict mothers that give birth to their children and the children are born addicts. A transmitted curse. This is what's controlling Jebus. And from Joshua on down, not a one of them dared to move in to touch those little things. But thank God for David that said, I'm going to get rid of them. I made up my mind. I'm going to give God the best in this land. And it is the city of David now. And he conquered it. And I come to town to tell you, you can conquer everything that has control over your life. Hallelujah. You say, but I can't help myself. Oh, yes, you can. You can conquer anything. We're going to bring down strongholds here tonight. Can you shout amen? There is an enemy within that's coiled around your heartstrings. It's the race of the Amorites, the carnal mind. It is enmity against God. Your biggest enemy is not the preacher. Your biggest enemy is not the members of the church. But your biggest enemy is the one you're looking at in the mirror when you comb your hair and when you shave your face. Are you listening to me? It is S-E-L-F, self. You don't coddle self. You don't pat it on the back. You crucify the thing. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I'll tell you what, this enemy is a persistent enemy. It's stuck to this stronghold for over 500 years and never moved. Joshua's army couldn't move it. Caleb marched and captured Hebron. But the enemy still held Jebus. The sun stood still in Ajalon. Gideon's host swept on to victory. Jephthah's legion drove out the hordes of neighboring nations. Samson's, he went to and fro with gigantic strides. Jonathan and his armor bearer smote the Philistines, but still Jebus is held by the Amorites. You know what that means? That means miracles can happen all around you and you can still be messed up. I know you don't turn that television set off. People don't want to hear this. But you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to get an army prepared. I'm trying to get an army prepared for this last day engagement. God's looking for volunteers. Are you willing to get rid of the thing that's been messing you up and causing you to stumble? Every one of you know what I'm talking about. One little thing, insignificant as it may be, but it's keeping you from God's best. David was crowned king in Hebron, and he had one desire, and that's to move the capital to Jebus. He wanted God to have all the land. No wonder they're fighting for Jerusalem over there. They're still fighting for it. You have been converted, but it still remains. That one little thing. How come y'all ain't shouting with me tonight? The hidden foe is disturbed. Self and Satan still have enough. They still have enough control to assert themselves when they choose. You see it. Every church has it. They have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. They live the Christian life on Sunday and then fill in the spaces. Secret bitterness on the inside. People in the church that you have hatred against. A friendship that God does not control. You don't want to hear this. A secret indulgence. A habit that you know that you have no business doing. But you can't control the thing. And yet you heard the man. I didn't. Where you at, brother? Testified tonight how God healed you of cancer. You were in the church, playing church. He said it. I thought he was going to steal my sermon. But he didn't know God. He was in the church. I'm not talking to sinners now. I can picture sinners out there in their home shouting, say, thank God he's leaving us alone tonight. He's getting on them saints. Go ahead, Shambach, get on them saints. Yeah, I ain't done with you yet either. We'll get around to you. But God, there is a cleansing. Judgment begins in the house of God. And God is preparing a people in this last day. And the searchlight of heaven is turned on our own lives. Hear me. Get your eyes off of somebody else's life. Are you listening to me? Clean up your own life. Get rid of your own mess. And then you'll be able to help somebody else because of what you've done in your life. Ah, you're shouting a little bit now. You see, the devil always holds the best position in the land. That little crevice of your heart, that's what God wants, the heart. God wanted it for his capital, but the Gibeonites had control of it. The Jebusites, Jebus held the best site in the land, and God wanted it. And nobody was brave enough to go take it. Hallelujah. But in this day, I can see a host of young people coming forth saying, devil, you're a liar. You have messed me up long enough, and I'm putting everything on the altar before God. And I'm going to surrender everything to him because I want to have a channel that is open so God can pour his spirit through me so that I can be a blessing to the multitudes. I want to heal the sick. I want to cast out devils. I want to bring deliverance to the world. But I want a clear channel. I want God to operate through me. This is the desire and the heart's cry of young people everywhere. The older folks, they've had their day. It's the young people's day now. I'm talking to you young folks. Just because you see sin in somebody else's life doesn't give you a license to do it. Others may, but you cannot. You're a child of God. You have dedicated yourself to the work of God. There's a tract that I'll never forget reading when I was a young man. It's titled, Others May, But You Cannot. You don't criticize the people that are doing it, but you're just cleaning up your own life because you're having a deeper consecration. You're going a little deeper in your experience with God. You want to get in a place where you can hear the voice of God. And not only the voice of God, but you can feel the nudge of the Spirit. You can sense the place where self sits down at is always the best place. I said self. When I say self, I'm talking about flesh. I'm talking about the carnal man. You want the best for self. We bring it right into the church. When self wants something, self gets it. Because we're going to please self. Take an offering for Africa. Give me change for a quarter. I'm going to get down here where you are now and see how you're breathing. Revival. Are you listening to me? And we're going to take a special offering now for the needy of Haiti.
Say what?
Help begins at home. Isn't that what they say? But when you give God everything, you realize that you are under His control. That what you have, He gave it to you. And when He puts His finger on the thing, all you have to do is say, Yes, Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But there's something there. Jebus under the control of the flesh. Some churches are under the control of flesh. Some preachers can't do what God called them to do because some deacon board won't allow them to do it. That's the first thing I did when I became a pastor. I cast out the deacons. The demons. You're the one God called to preach. Don't let anybody tell you what else to preach. I had enough of this in one church. I had one of my deacons come to me and said, Now listen, the leading attorney is here tonight. He is my friend. I want you to go easy on sin. I said, Thanks for telling me. I'm going to really make it hot tonight, brother. Well, don't you come and tell me who's here. That word of God is for everybody. My God, every lawyer needs to get saved. They're the biggest crooks in the world. Most of them, not the born-again Christians. I better paraphrase that one. Are you listening to me? This gospel is for the politician. You don't sugarcoat the thing. You don't water the thing down. That's been the trouble with the church. But you preach it just like it is and let it cut down where it may. God didn't call us to change that book, but He called us to preach it. What thus saith the Lord? Can you shout amen? I'm feeling good in my sanctified soul tonight. Hallelujah. God's getting ready, folks. And He's weeding out a people that are out and out. When God called Gideon to deliver the Midianites into His hand. You know what Gideon was doing? He was hiding from the enemy. He was a coward. Just like you and me. And here he is at the wine press grinding out corn so his family can be blessed. He was eking out a living. And the angel comes and says, Hey Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. I can picture Gideon saying, Who, me? Here he is hiding from the enemy. Listen to me folks, this is beautiful. God don't look at you as what you are. He looks at you as a vessel that's controlled by Him. That if you will put yourself into His hand, God sees you as the finished product. And He sees you as a mighty man of valor. Hallelujah! He's looking at you as a devil caster outer. Instead of running from the devil, you're running after the devil. One of you chase 1,000, two of you put 10,000 to flight. Can you shout amen?
Now I'm getting on shouting ground. Ain't it? About time you get up out of that pew. Hallelujah!
Oh, he said, Lord, now if that's you, if that's really you calling me, I'm going to put a fleece out. Did you ever do that? He said, Lord, I'm going to lay the fleece out now. If that's really you talking, I want you to let it rain on the fleece and let the ground be dry in the morning. He gets up in them jammies and walks out on dry ground. When he gets to the fleece, he wrings a bowl of water out of it. And he has one of them Methodist spasms. I'm going to change that terminology. Them Methodists acting up. Oh, Gideon went, nah! Now I know God talking to me. Gave me a sign. Gets ready for bed and he said, Lord, nah, did you really, really mean it? Is it really, really you talking to me? I'm going to put the fleece out again tonight. This time I'm going to reverse it. Let the ground be wet. And let the fleece be dry. And he gets up the next morning in his jammies. And he goes out on that ground soaking wet with dew. But when he gets to the fleece, it's dry as last Sunday's sermon. Hallelujah. You know the story. Gideon was an organizer. He'd make a good union man. He could organize the troops. He said, well, I'm going to get them all together, and got 32,000 of them. I'm ready to whip this enemy. God said, where are you going, boy? You got too many men with you. I can't deliver Midian into your hand with this mess. You know, we're always looking for crowds. 32,000. God said, Gideon, if I delivered that enemy into your hands, all them folks would be putting their thumbs under their armpits saying, look what I did. Look, he said, Gideon, stand up in front of them and say, everybody that's fearful and afraid, go home. He obeyed God. He did what God said. You know what happened? 22,000 ran home. You ought to have seen the dust storm. He's left with 10,000 troops. Hear me. If you're bound with fear, one of those little hidden things in your life might be a spirit of fear, but before God can use you, you gotta get rid of that fear. You cannot face that enemy with fear. Now's the time to get rid of it. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind so that you can face the enemy and put him where he belongs. Raise your hands and shout amen. Hallelujah! God knows how to talk to us. He says, you still got too many. This time I'm going to prove them. Bring them down by the brook. They're on bivouac. Full pack. Armed. He says, when I bring you down by the brook, everyone that laps like a dog, set them aside. 9,700 of them jumped into the water. Thought they were in Orlando. I mean, they went splashing every which way. 300 of them got down on their haunches, cupped their hands together and went, realizing the enemy's still around. You know, some folks can't take the blessing. Some folks get wrapped up in the blessing, they forget all about the enemy. Are you listening to me? And here they were, down there lapping water like a dog. God said, set them aside. 300 men, and I'll deliver Midian into you. Gideon's getting a little bolder now. He said, what do you want me to do now, Lord? Split them up in 3 companies. 100 each. And surround the enemy. Say what? 385,000 of the enemy. Surround them? We got any laser-tipped missiles? No, Gideon. All you're going to do is go out with a trumpet. A trumpet in one hand and a lamp in the other hand. A pitcher. And inside the pitcher, you'll have a lamp. What about the missile? This ain't your battle. It's mine. God, I love this, folks. See, when you don't have any fear, you'll do what God tells you to do.
If he tells you to go to the lion's den, you're going to say, which way? Hallelujah. Gideon, now listen, and I analyze this a lot of times, and I say, you know what? 100 men in each troop, this is where real dedication comes in. Every one of those 100 said, they ain't going to miss me if I go home. They could have sneaked out of there and not be missed. But if you're not in your place, then the enemy is going to have a victory. God wants men and women he can count on to be in their place. I believe the church needs to hear this message. Every time these church doors open, people need to be in their place because God is dependent on you. Can you shout amen? Those 300, Gideon said, synchronize your watch. I'll give you time to get around. We're going to circle them. And I'm going to blow my trumpet. When you hear me blow my trumpet, everybody put your trumpet to your mouth and blow. We're going to wake up the enemy and tell them we're here. And when you finish blowing that trumpet, break the pitcher. And when you break the pitcher, set the light up. And the whole valley lit up. See, that's all you need. God said, blow the trumpet in Zion. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm blowing the trumpet in the church. But before God can use you, every one of us, we must be broken. Nobody wants the broken ceremony. Are you listening to me? The light can't shine until you are broken. Hallelujah. Some of you are going through that process now. And you're saying, oh Lord, I've had enough. No, God knows how much you can bear. Hang in there. It ain't over yet until God says it's over. The broken process. And then when you come through this thing, your light's gonna shine. And I want you to know the enemy will flee from you 7 ways. Nothing will be able to stand before you. Blind eyes will have to open. Deaf ears will have to unstop. The lame will walk and leap for joy because you are a broken vessel and the light of this gospel is shining through you. Every stronghold has been torn down. You want God to use you? I want him to use me. He kept me alive for this. I believe it. In this last day, the latter years are going to be greater than the former. God gave me this promise. It was a prophecy that my latter years are going to be greater than the former. Ooh, I hang on that all the time. He said he's going to renew my youth as the eagle. My wife and I were in Ken Copeland's service in Fort Worth. Brother Copeland stopped preaching. He said, Brother and Sister Shambach, stand up. I said, all right. We stood up arm in arm. He said, God just told me to tell you he's taken 10 years of wear and tear off of your life. My God, from Zion. People coming to me telling me I look better now than I ever did. He's taken the wear and tear off. Can you shout amen? My youth is renewed as the eagle. I'm getting ready for the big one. Hallelujah. All hell has vomited out every devil. They've come down to the inhabitants of the earth. But we're going to put him where he belongs. We're getting him off the back. Getting him out of the heart. Getting him off the chest. Getting him out of the knees. And we're putting him under the feet. He's a defeated foe. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Come on, shout. Stand to your feet and praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to do it different tonight. How many of you, now listen, don't say you're not saved. Don't say you're not sanctified. Just recognize that there's something there that shouldn't be, that's keeping you from God's best. We need to hear this, folks. The devil will condemn us and say, "You ain't saved, you lying devil. I know I'm saved. I knew I was saved when I was in the Navy. I knew also I was a rebel. That doesn't mean I was from Georgia. I was rebellious in my spirit." Isaiah said, "Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips." It's a prophet talking. Good Lord from Zion. A prophet. "I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. Lord, send a seraphim with a live hot coal, with the tongs of God, with a coal of fire from off the altar, and touch my lips and make me clean." Whew. You know why he said that? He saw God. When you see God, you're unclean, no matter how holy you think you are. That's why we need a glimpse of God today like we've never had before. When we see the beauty of His holiness, we'll run for cover, or we'll run to the altar. How many of you here tonight want God to use you in a supernatural way? You want to clear out everything? Come on down here and gather around with me. This ain't no altar call tonight. We just going to get ready. You're the ones going to clean out hospitals. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. The enemy will come out against you one way and flee seven ways. Wow. I want to, listen, I confess it. I want to get back to that place. I was at a hunting lodge with my father-in-law, my wife's dad, up in Potter County in Pennsylvania. I was born and raised in Pennsylvania, and he took me up there. He had a cabin up there and asked me to come up there to just for a weekend to rest with him. I said, "I ain't got time to rest, Pop." Well, he said, "You've been working hard. Come on up there." And I went. Little old town, population 320. I think it's Cross Forks. I think that's the name of it. I couldn't take but 2 days. I couldn't stand all them turkeys and rabbits. I mean, I was preaching to them, but they wouldn't answer no altar call. So I went into town, this little old town, and they had some kind of a little carnival thing. I saw a tent. And I went crazy when I saw the tent. And they're having a little street carnival. And outside the tent were 3 round balls, fortune told. I headed for the tent. I said, "That devil been harassing God's folks. I'm going to harass him tonight." I mean, I've been looking for some excitement, you know. And all of a sudden, a little lady came out with one of them babushkas on, earrings down to her ankles. She played the part. She was the fortune teller. And her eyes fixed on mine. And I headed for her. She grabbed the inside curtain, started to nuzzle back. When I got close enough, the devil on the inside of her spoke. Said, "I know you, you man of God." I said, "I know you too, devil." And she stepped back in and pulled the curtain. And I stood in front. I leaned back and I said, "You ain't telling no fortunes tonight, devil. You come out here tonight and I'm going to cast you out. And I'm going to stand guard here until the lights go out." But it's, you know, it's refreshing to know that the devil knows who you are. Oh, it is, folks. I want to get back to that place when devils will tremble when I come. Don't you want that? When I was with Brother Allen, they brought a lady in from a mental institution. They couldn't keep clothes on her and had her wrapped in blankets. And I was getting ready to preach, and he hollered at me and said, come and pray. They brought her in a limo. And I said, "Let me get somebody to start the singing, and I'll come and help you." And he was in the back praying in that limo. And I went in to get in where he was, and I couldn't get in, so I went around to the other side. And I opened the door, and I crawled in, and that woman turned around and looked at me, and she said, "Oh, you need Shambox help." Brother Allen said, "You know who this woman is?" I said, "Ain't that woman talking? I ain't never seen her, brother." And he started laughing. He said, "Shambok, the devil knows who you are." I said, "I got good company." Remember the sons of Sceva who saw Paul the apostle casting out devils? And they said, "We're going to do the same thing." Found a demon-possessed man and said,
In the name of Paul's God, Jesus, come out! The devil said, Jesus, we know. And Paul, we know. But who are you? Oh, aren't you glad the devil knows who you are? If you are filled with the Holy Ghost and that vessel is clear, the devil knows who you are. And he knows you have the only weapon that can put him where he belongs. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You can rise up fear in the devil's heart. Are you listening to me? Shout amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a people of God that are going to raise up in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's going to put the devil under our feet. We're more than conquerors as we reign with him. I want you to put up both hands and just surrender all. That's what both hands is. I surrender. Lord, I surrender all. Let the Holy Spirit deal with you. Everything that's not like Jesus, you at home, this can be a consecration service. But you're putting yourself on that altar. Woe is me, for I am undone. Lo, this has touched your lips. Sing it quietly if you will. Hallelujah. I surrender all. Right there in your home. If you're a sinner, surrender your life to him. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. He'll sanctify you wholly. Fill you with the Holy Ghost. But give him everything. Don't hold anything back. He wants it all. He wants your life. He wants your husband. He wants your wife. He wants your children. Businessman, he wants your business. Everything you got your hand on, he wants it. A total surrender. My blessed Savior. Let your spirit pour it out to him now. Everybody sing it now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, turn the searchlight of heaven on my soul. Anything that's hindering me from God's best, remove it. I give it up voluntarily. I put it on the altar of sacrifice.